So treble digits. So, you know, without further ado, let's just carry on the same as we normally do, which is.
This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of the Get That Gang. In our weekly show, we cover news and views from our businesses, along with a top of mind topic. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest, and every now and again we invite a guest along to share their experience and expertise. After 90 episodes of just audio, we're now on YouTube as well. So feel free to catch up there. Just search for the Trainers Training Company or the Get That Gang, or download us on audio only through your favourite podcast streamer. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, and we are, drum roll please, we are at episode number 100. who'd have thought when we started a couple of three years ago? Shall we talk? Yeah, let's talk. What do we talk about? Oh, I don't know. Let's have a little chat and see how it goes. Who'd have thought we'd have got to 100 episodes, eh?
Who'd have thought? Yes. quite an achievement. Yeah,
definitely.
Quite an achievement.
Definitely.
But, yeah, we should be very proud of ourselves and, you know, and an opportunity to obviously say thank you to everybody who listens to us.
Absolutely.
You know, every week, because if it wasn't for you, then we wouldn't be here. And apparently there are a few people that do listen to us. Amazing, but true. But, you know, there are.
Yeah, I know, the fools. They enjoy listening to us rambling on. But it's fantastic. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to us and for putting up with us talking, sometimes making sense. Sometimes perhaps not so much, but you know, that's the way it goes. It's a real achievement. Very proud to have reached 100. So treble digits. So, you know, without further ado, let's just carry on the same as we normally do, which is talk about our week. So how's your week been, Sharon?
Well, it's been Easter, obviously, and yep. we're recording this on a bank holiday Monday, mm-hmm. because, you know, we're so dedicated to the cause, obviously.
Clearly.
Some would say that we have nothing else better to do, but...
I don't know what you're talking about.
But, you know, so it was funny, wasn't it? I had one of those Easter weekends where I didn't really do an awful lot, and you know, and I, in preparation for the podcast, I thought, so what did I do? I couldn't come up with anything even vaguely exciting, you know, like, well, I washed Jem's bedding.
Woohoo!
And so that all smells lovely, and she sniffed it a bit, but then she decided that it met her standards, so she did get in it. So that was a big relief, mm-hmm. you know. What else did I do? I had a hot cross bun. spent a bit of money online, like I do, you mm-hmm. know. I did like a bit of online shopping, uh-huh. watched a bit of tennis, chatted to my friend on the phone. Had the house valued, as you do, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely, because you've only been there a year. So, I mean, you know.
Well, you know, time for a change, I reckon. Time for a change.
And how long were you in your previous house?
13 years.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, all joking aside, because of the amount of work that you've had done on that house, I think it's a very useful exercise to do, isn't it? Just to, you know, make sure that you haven't just thrown money down the drain, that it has made a difference. So
yeah,
you know.
absolutely. And I'm not going to say that we're not going to move and it's all a bit of a wasted exercise, because that wouldn't fit in with the old, you know, manifesting what you want and all the rest
absolutely.
Of it. Because there is another house out there for us. Who knows when it will appear, but if it appears, then and also I'm not going to make this hard for myself. It's just like an exercise. It's like a journey. It's really difficult because there's nothing on the market in the location that we want. We're just literally 5 minutes away. Yeah. But it's almost like if you don't start to take those little steps, then nothing will happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking to myself as well, I was talking to Jim about it yesterday and thinking, it's almost like there are so many possible scenarios about how this could play out. Mm-hmm. So it's pointless even going down any one of those scenarios. Yeah. It's just about, okay, well, let's just think about that if something happens, you know, and then if it does, do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
It's just like, I'm just going to open the gates. Let's start to take the little steps. First step is to have the house valued. Mm-hmm. Second would be potentially to put it on the market. And then third stage, we just see what happens after that. And it's no biggie, you know, it's just a little, because now we're here, it's a lot easier.
I was going to say,
always was maybe a little bit of a stepping stone, because when we were moved here, it was such a big deal. It was such a big move.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to look from a distance as well. Mm-hmm. It was just really exhausting and all a bit. But now that you're here, it's just so much easier. Yeah. Everything's so much easier. So, you know, exciting, just exciting adventure. Bring it on. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I'm looking at it.
Oh, I think that's great. Yeah, it's a great attitude, because I mean, when you were looking for, like you say, having to make the trip, which was what, 2.5 hours every time?
Yeah.
For you to get down here and then trawl around and look at houses and try and get a feel for, because even though you'd been down there to stay on holidays and that kind of thing, so you knew you liked the area, that's still very different to living in an area, isn't it? So I think it's like you say, you can open the door and see what comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm perfectly happy either way with what might transpire. So it's good.
Yeah. You know,
so that's good. That was something that we did over the weekend, and that was kind of it. And the week going up to that, you know, the usual mixture of delivery on the programs. We had the complete trainer, we had a really good accountability session on Tuesday with my people who were in my Transform Mastermind.
Oh yeah,
because we do 90 day goals, so every quarter obviously we were reviewing the 90 day goals.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, some of the things that people have achieved have just been amazing. I mean, some of them have been really, really open and transparent, and been doing dashboards and sharing their, you know, their turnover since they've been on the program. And at least two or three people who have literally had their best year ever in terms of their business, which is amazing.
That's
fantastic. You know, it's just amazing to see that. So that was good. You and I had a little chat about the complete trainer, didn't we?
We did.
You know?
Yeah, a little chat. Yeah.
Well, like, a big chat.
Any of our chats are ever little.
Yeah.
It's a good couple of hours worth. We had to have a break to go and get more tea.
We did. And then at the end of it, we went, oh, have we reached any conclusions? Well, not really. Well, let's have another meeting.
Yeah, kinda. And then, you know, we're moving things on in little steps, just like you're saying.
Indeed. Exactly.
It was useful, I think, just to kind of gauge where we're at in terms of how we think it's going, and what we want to think about for the future, which I don't think there's no bad thing about doing that. It's a program that is there for the long haul, and we're 3 months in. So, we're effectively halfway through the first iteration of it. Yeah. So now's the right time to do that anyway. It's like all of these things. You start talking and then you have a few tangents that you have to go off and explore. But yes, we kind of got to the end of it. Right. What are we actually going to do? Oh, yeah. Action plan. Okay.
Let's have another meeting to talk about that.
Exactly. It's fine. So, we're moving on. There's no burning bridge. That's the important thing. So, had to make sure. And we do have an action plan of sorts, because, you know, you needed to do a bit of thinking about other stuff that you want to promote and that kind of stuff. So, we are moving along. It might feel a bit glacial at the moment, but we are definitely moving in the right direction. So that's the important thing.
Yeah, that was good. I managed to recruit a new team member.
Yes, that is exciting.
Yes, so somebody who's going to basically look after the Trainer Talk locals and get more people there. and take you local leaders by the scruff of the neck.
Good luck.
Get you all in hand.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, I know, which will be, no, it'll be good. It'd be good to have somebody else just totally focused on that. Because we know that works as a model, but we just need to get more people there. And it's like when you know, all of us are, you know, the leaders and certainly myself, when you spread, you know, very thin, it's, you know, you know, what you focus on grows, it always does. And if we get somebody whose their sole job is to just get people to the events, then, you know,
completely,
here he is, that should happen. we will see. The proof will be in the pudding. But
indeed,
that's been really exciting. And the usual exercise of doing that has been interesting, you know, getting, you know, the usual mix of people who sent rubbish proposals and didn't answer the questions and all that sort of stuff. So, but, you know, I think I'm getting a lot, you know, I know what I'm looking for now. Yeah. Because I've done this, you know, so many times now, so it makes the process a lot easier. Although there were about three people who are kind of, it was quite hard to choose between the three of them. So I hope I've made the right decision. Time will tell.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's what trial periods are for, right?
Yeah.
There are some people, and I remember this from back in corporate days, recruiting people. There are some people that come across brilliantly on paper, and then you meet them in person, and they're a bit of a letdown. You know, they don't match the in-person experience. So they're obviously very talented at writing, or they got somebody to write their application for them. And then you meet them in person, and it doesn't quite match. But even the ones who are great on paper, great in person, and then you actually get them in to do the job, it's like, ah, okay, they're not quite what I thought they were going to be. And, you know, I was very fortunate insofar as I can only think of one person that I was involved in the recruitment of. Actually, maybe two, but only one was my decision. The other, I was there to support somebody else and said to them, on your head be it, if you want to employ this person. And yes, lo, it turned out that they were a bit interesting. But the one that I remember having been involved in the decision was somebody who actually we kind of felt a bit sorry for, because they'd applied for the job previously, hadn't got it, and it was an internal thing. And then the first person we got, you know, stayed for a couple of years, and then we recruited again, and it was all kind of, oh well, you know, feel a bit sorry for her, let's give her the job. And it was like, whoa, nightmare. Yeah, should never have done that. So
yeah.
Trial periods are a wonderful thing.
Yeah. They are indeed. So we shall see, but that's all very positive. And then the other thing that happened last week was I finished the How to Launch Training Business in 30 days. Yay! 30 days of me pitching up on Facebook Live every day. Although I didn't manage every day, obviously, because of the old vaccine thing, which we discussed last week. Yeah. But generally did.
More and, often than not. It's still more a often big than not, commitment.
29 days. So that was, it's a funny old program, that, you know. It's a funny, because I always, even though it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of work in the sense that you have to pitch up, I have to pitch up myself every day for 30 days. And, you know, the people who run the program, they have to pitch up as well, because one thing that they don't know before they sign up for the program is that I ask them to come into the group every day and do their homework on a Facebook Live. Yeah. They don't have to do that, but it's fantastic if they do, because it's just when people see, you know, somebody else doing that,
totally.
Just something about that, I don't know, it's like this magical connection happens. It's like this energy that happens.
And well, it's engagement, isn't it, and momentum.
And so it always, and because of that, it's just always a great program, and it's just hugely enjoyable for me. I love it, and they love it. And the thing is, for them, about doing the Facebook Live, the little interesting side outcome is that by the end of it, they just feel so much more confident and comfortable about going on camera, because they've just been doing it every day for 30 days.
Totally.
It's incredible, which is great.
Yeah, you know? That is. Absolutely, it's great. And again, we've mentioned this before. on the podcast, and I talk about it whenever I'm have been talking to people about going on camera, whether it's a live or whether it's pre-record. You absolutely positively cannot escape the fact that practice makes better. It's there's no two ways about it. If you want to get confident on camera, you have to go on camera, and the more you do it, the more confident you will get. So, you know, I mean, it's anybody that, that tells you any differently or sells you something that is, you know, the magic solution that doesn't involve lots of repetition of going on camera. Yeah. I'm afraid they're lying. So,
yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So it's yeah. So that's always it's a really nice outcome. Mm-hmm. And so I always feel a big sense of achievement when I finish that program. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, done it. Every really? Day now for 30 days, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so actually, looking back, it's all been busy, busy, busy. No wonder I didn't do anything at the weekend.
Yeah, quite. You needed a rest. Oh, that's good. That's really good. Well, I mean, my week last week, I might have mentioned it on last week's recording, but we had the first of the outdoor gym boot camps happening last week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm booked in for the 9:30 slot, and we go to a local park, and everybody stands around in a circle 2 meters distant, and the instructor stands in the middle yelling out instructions to us. And last week was quite pleasant, actually, because the weather was all right. This morning was interesting. Ooh. bit cold, hence the reason I'm kind of dressed back up in winter clothes again now, because I was saying to you before we started recording, that was one of those where you stand in the shower underneath after the workout, and my skin was so cold that the hot water stung a little bit just when it feels amazing because oh, I'm getting warm, it's so lovely. But it was definitely one of those where although I mean obviously the guy that owns the gym, who runs them, he knows what he's doing, and he got us to do certain exercises, but then it's affectionately known as the bloody tree. So there is a tree in this park where every now and again he gets you to run up and around the tree and back again, then you come back to your station and you do another set of exercises, and there were a few that were real leg burners this morning. So in order to help work the lactic acid out, we had to run around the tree and come back again. It was kind of, oh my goodness me, this really hurts. And then afterwards, like as soon as you stop moving, the wind, so cold, bitter, bitter, bitter. So my legs got very cold, having done a decent workout anyway. So that was this morning, as I say. But last week, work-wise, had lots of chats, actually, lovely chats with people, including yourself, as we've talked about, but also chats with people who are looking to, take the next step in their online offerings and what they want to do and how they want to do it and that kind of thing. So talking to people about that, put in a couple of proposals one was a proper proposal. The other one was more we've had a chat and the person's going to decide by the end of the week. Interestingly, both of them said they were going to decide by the end of the week, and I haven't heard from either of them. But this was one of the things that we're going to talk about on top of mind, isn't it? So I won't say too much about that at the moment, but had to put that in. And then it got to sort of Wednesday, Thursday, and my to-do list wasn't looking too bad. I had things that I needed to do for sure, and then there were other things that I kind of wanted to do because I was hoping to clear some time over the bank holiday weekend to do some more writing on the book. And then I can't remember if it was the end of Wednesday or the end of Thursday. I think it might be the end of Thursday, and I just looked at this to-do list and I could cry. It was just like, oh, I've worked so hard. It was getting to 9 o'clock at night. I'd spent a long time doing stuff. It was just like, how can I still have so much to do? And it's just, it's all stuff that kind of had come in or, you know, needed doing or whatever. So there was I don't think there was anything in there that was something that I could have done something about. It was just because I was so tired and because I was trying to protect this time to do something else. However, Thursday and Friday were not massively productive days. I was being thwarted. It felt like being thwarted at every turn, trying to get stuff done, including migrating some websites for a new client. So I managed to do some of it, but not all of it, and that kind of thing, and got other bits and pieces done, but having to sort of, you know, go out for a dog walk and then come back to a message and like, right, that's what I'll be doing next then, instead of what I thought I was going to be doing next. And then Saturday morning, I don't know what happened, but I was on fire. I was just getting stuff done left, right and centre, and ploughing my way through the lists. And I've got my list in front of me and sort of putting black line through, black line through, black line through as things were getting done, which is, you know, something that I do when I know I've got a lot, and I know that because I've got a lot that I'm juggling, I will forget something. So I have to write it down as soon as I remember it. And now sort of looking at the list going, wow, how on earth did I get through all of that stuff? But the relief at having, you know, got these things crossed off the list, and then, right, that doesn't have to be done today. That can be done later. So one of the things that I'm doing this afternoon, joy of joys, is preparing everything for my accountants. Because, of course, it was the end of the first quarter of the year. My financial year runs January to December. But in any event, it was my first quarter for VAT. So I have to get my stuff to the accountants so they can tell me how much HMRC is going to take from me, which I usually have an idea about. But what I tend to do is I tend to overestimate, because I can't be bothered working out all the things that I've spent money on that do or don't have VAT included. That's what I pay the accountants for. They can do that. So I know that whatever I've set aside, it's always going to be less than that, which is a nice feeling, actually, especially sort of for using Starling Bank as I do. And so I've got all the different pots to put money in. So I make sure as soon as an invoice comes in, gets paid, I put the profit. I put the VAT element into the VAT box, so I don't have to worry about it, and you know, it's there. So that's really nice. That's something, could have talked about that in our top of mind for sure. So got all of that done. So it actually, the rest of the weekend was relatively relaxing, apart from one thing where I got a notification that I've spent $31.98, which is worked out at, I don't know, £28, something like that. I can't remember. And it came in. Now, very often when things are standing orders on my account, they come in early in the morning because for whatever reason, that's when the banking systems put everything through. Yeah. So I wake up to notifications, you've paid for this, you've paid for that or whatever, which is not unusual. But this thing came in and I looked at it and went, have I? And apparently I spent some money at 7 o'clock on Saturday night through my business account. And I'm like, well, that wouldn't be unusual insofar as if I'm sort of browsing things and thinking, oh, that's a nifty little tool, you know, I'll give that a go. That's okay. But I cannot remember seeing anything or buying anything. I've got no receipts come in at all. And of course, being the Easter bank holiday weekend, it's like, oh, well, I've got some hope of getting any support on this. Starling, fantastic, came back, you know, virtually within 10 minutes of me sending a message to them, just saying, look, this is absolutely possibly something that I have forgotten, but I don't recognize it. Do you have any more information? Because it's come from a vendor called Mango Pay, which is actually a bit like PayPal. So unless you get a receipt from somebody going, oh, you've paid for this through Mango Pay, I don't know who the merchant is. So I said, do you have any more information? They said, well, no, we don't, but it's set up like a recurring card subscription. It looks very similar to something back in October, but I looked at the thing back in October and that was through AppSumo, which was for a video tool. It was, and they were saying, oh, it's for the same amount. And no, it's a different amount. That was for more, and I've got that in my records. I know what that was. I've got the receipt, and that's fine. But there's nothing else that's gone through on AppSumo. I don't believe I've bought anything on AppSumo. So if it's an open subscription, it sounds like, you know, something somewhere I've bought and this is an update or a something or a whatever. I have no idea what it is, though. So the next step, they said, well, you've got to get in touch with the merchant to see if you can resolve it through them. So I've gone on to their website and finally found something. Couldn't find it to begin with, but finally found something, because of course their website is all set up to go, hey, use us as your payment provider. I'm like, no, I want to find out. You've taken some money from me and I don't know what it is. So finally found their contact us ticket, and they've got actually on the drop down box, what is this about, sales, accounts, billing, whatever, they've actually got one that says fraud. So it's like, oh, okay, right. So this isn't necessarily an unusual thing. So I've just sent them a message. Obviously, it's bank holiday, so I don't expect to hear something until tomorrow. But in the meantime, I've put, you know, I've locked my card so it can't be used. And it says it's a pending transaction. So it's like, well, it could be something, maybe it's something I bought last week and now it's just, I don't understand. Because the stuff that I remember buying, I bought two books on Amazon. That's been paid for, and that's gone through, and that's a different amount anyway. And I was looking at, what was I looking at? Something, but it was much more expensive than that. So it's like, it's a really odd amount. You know, $31.98 is an odd amount.
I'm not understanding,
unless it's somebody in the UK who is charging in dollars and therefore has to charge me VAT. That might make a bit of sense. But even so, you know, the thing that I thought it might have been, it isn't, because the receipts come through for that and that's a different amount. So
Oh, well,
mystery.
Keep us updated. We will find out next week.
I know. Yeah. So hopefully I'll get that result. I mean, it's no biggie, from the point of view you know, as I say, there is still this huge possibility that it is something that I've bought and I'm just completely mind blank about.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, it's normally, from what I've heard from, you know, people testing card information to see if they can get a transaction through before they do a bigger transaction, it's normally, you know, like $5 or something, you know, really small. So you know, $31.98 sounds like a proper transaction. I just don't know what for, so we'll find that one out. So that was a kind of an interesting waking up on Sunday morning going, what did I buy? I don't remember buying something.
Oh, well, the mystery.
Indeed. We will wait to hear. So, shall we go on to our top of mind?
Yes, we shall. But I just wanted to, before we do that, I just wanted to talk about that that cafe story, because I thought that that was just a really, really good one to share on the podcast. So so one of my favorite cafes, which obviously we can't really go to at the moment, but anyway, but one of my favorite cafes is a cafe called The Secret Kitchen, which is just down the road, and it's right on the beach and Swansea Bay. It's just absolutely lovely. Fond memories, actually, because that was when the day 5 years ago when we first dropped Amy off at university, that was where we went to have a drink. And I actually, it was a gorgeous day. It was a gorgeous September day. And I actually had a glass of wine, unlike me during the day, you know. But I know, bit, you know, a bit spontaneous there. But it was so, and it was always a bit like so lovely. It was always like, ah, mission accomplished. You know, we dropped her off. And then it's just a really, really lovely place. In the meantime, then it kind of closed down for a bit, which was really sad. But then it reopened again a couple of years ago, completely done up. And it's just the most, it's just wonderful. It's just a great place. Lovely food, lovely views, lovely. Obviously, et cetera. But the, one of the things I really, really like about them is that every week they do, I think it's on a Tuesday, they do between 7:30 and 8:30, they do a litter cleaning, beach cleaning thing. And so they invite everybody down. Loads of people go, like volunteers go down, and then they you know, clean the beach, pick up everybody's rubbish, and then feed everybody, with pastries and bacon rolls and coffee after that as a thank you, which is really lovely. Anyway, so what happened last week was that they just had, so basically they were vandalized, and not only was the beach right in front of them, you know, there was loads of broken glass and litter, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But they'd also, I think, attempted to break in. They'd done some something with the water, you know, so there was water going off everywhere, like a pipe they broke and all the thing. It was all a bit of a mess. So they came in on the Sunday and kind of, the owners came in on the Sunday and kind of discovered this. But what happened was that unbeknown to the perpetrators, they'd also just had CCTV installed outside the cafe. So basically they caught everything on the camera. So they know who these, they were all teenagers.
Yeah.
But what they did, which I thought was really, really interesting, so they put a post on Instagram and on Facebook to say, basically, you know, we know who you are. They got pictures, but they blanked out their faces. Mm-hmm. And said that, you know, instead of reporting them to the police, they were going to give them the option to actually come down and join the litter cleaning and see the effect that their vandalism had had. And they said, you know, if you come down and do this, then we won't take it any further. And they did. Mm-hmm. They all turned up and they, you know, they came and enjoyed the beach cleaning. And I just thought that was just really refreshing to kind of see that approach. So yeah. Instead of just reporting them to the police, which was probably their first instinct, they were genuinely thinking about, okay, well, how can we start changing behavior? You know, which I thought was great. Yeah. And they got such a huge level of support from everybody, you know, in the area, where so it probably wouldn't have done their cafe any harm in terms of the good PR that they got from it, you know. But I just thought, yeah, nice story. Yeah. Nice story.
Definitely. No, that was lovely when you sent that to me. And of course, I saw the first bit, which was them putting the social media post out and saying, look, here's your option, all the rest of it. And was reading that and thinking, oh, blimey, that's taking a leap of faith. And then got the second bit, which was, no, they turned up. And it's like, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, no, that's fantastic. That's really, really good. And just goes to show that, you know, this idea of restitution can really have a powerful impact on people. Not so much, I mean, you remember my story from Matey and the golfist that decided that the one that refused to apologize. Oh no, he said he'd write it in a letter, like anyway, doesn't always quite work out, but on this occasion it has. And how fantastic is that? Because it's just one of those things where you think, yeah, let's look at what might have the most impact. And the fact that these and they were all boys, you could tell they're all boys from the CCTV images, the fact that they came forward, I think actually tells you an awful lot about, you know, where it was all coming from in the first place. If they hadn't come forward, then you kind of think, yeah, well, they don't really care. But I suspect it came out of boredom, out of frustration with the lockdown, and kind of out of a thought of, oh, well, we can get away with this. But you've got to allow people to make mistakes and then give them an opportunity to atone for those mistakes. Because none of us is perfect. And, you know, I mean, there are times when, and I'm sure it's the same for you, there are times when I've done stuff and thought, that doesn't feel nice. That doesn't feel right. I don't feel like I did a good thing there. And where possible, having the opportunity to go, do you know what? I'm sorry about that. It doesn't feel right. Yeah. I would have preferred to. And, you know, it feels great afterwards because you think, I did a wrong thing, but I did a right thing by putting it right.
Exactly.
So that's lovely. That was a really nice story.
Yeah. Worthy of a share on our 100th episode.
I know. Yes, absolutely.
Well done. Well done, Secret Kitchen,
yes,
Swansea.
Absolutely. Yep. Tick, right. You've promoted the area. Well done. So our 100th episode, we thought it would be quite nice to talk about what has changed for us over the 100 episodes, because it's one of those milestone numbers, isn't it? And people talk about ever since the Obama administration, when he set out his plan for his first 100 days in office, and Biden has done the same, unsurprisingly, because of course he was Obama's vice president, and now he's president. He had a 100-day plan and all that kind of stuff. And there's been, you know, yes, Corona has happened during the course of us recording 100 episodes, but actually it's not had, I don't think, as much of an impact on our businesses in terms of what we do or the way in which we run our businesses. It's much more interesting to look at how other things have changed for us. I don't know I do know that you agree with me on that, but tell me your thoughts on that, Sharon.
Yeah, it's interesting to look back, isn't it? And, you know, for a start, I'm in a different place.
You are, entirely, absolutely.
you know, I'm in a different office now, a different place, different house.
Different,
you know,
haircut.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. When we look back, all the different iterations of hair that have gone on.
Completely. Completely. Well, I mean, effectively, I'm in a different place as well because I'm in the different corner of the room.
Yeah.
So, exactly.
So we've done a lot, you know, so we've had a lot of sort of physical change, I think, haven't we, you know, over the last 100 episodes. I think, yeah, you're right in terms of our businesses, in terms of what we have provided and what and how we have delivered it, hasn't been a great deal of change, other than the fact that we did the Future Fit program.
Yeah.
And that was a response to coronavirus, clearly, and that then has sort of morphed into the Complete Trainer.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's nothing, you know, as I say, nothing hugely different in terms of what we've delivered and how we've delivered it. My team has got bigger. Mm-hmm. I can't stop outsourcing people.
outsourcing
tasks, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so and that has had a huge impact over the last couple of years, because I still now look at my to-do list a bit like you and think, oh, I've got all these things to do, and I'm thinking, how did I do all this before?
Yeah.
now I've got all these people doing things for me, but I don't understand how it was possible to do. I mean, granted, there are probably a lot of things that maybe I wasn't doing before, but still a lot of things that I am. So, you know, that has definitely had a mm-hmm. a massive impact on me. You know, it comes with its own challenges, because you've got to find people, and then you've got to manage them, because I'm not in the business of just letting people,
yeah,
you know, let on with. Although, having said that, I like to have people in the team who do get on with stuff, yeah, and have their own ideas and, yeah, have their own initiative. It's like, okay, here's the brief. Now, how you do that is kind of up to you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I still have to, you know, have regular meetings, keep on top of it all, look at targets, and also make people feel part of a team, mm-hmm, as well, mm-hmm, which is really important. So that, because the more they enjoy that, the more they enjoy being part of the business, being part of the team, the better job that they will do.
Yeah.
So that's you know, that's had a huge impact, I think, over the last couple of years for me. What else? How have I grown? You're gonna talk about this. I won't steal your thunder. You talk about that bit about the whole sort of attitude to money, the money beliefs, the money stories, yeah. I think. So I think we've both definitely grown over the last 2 years in this respect.
For sure. And it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, you mentioned Future Fit and then the Complete Trainer there. And I was saying before we started recording the podcast, it is a new program, and absolutely, for sure, it's what's come out of Corona, but it's the same stuff that we've always taught. It's just packaged differently to respond to a need in the market, which is great. I mean, you know, there's extra stuff that's in there as we have grown and as we've developed and as we have new understanding of things, but it's not a complete change. I mean, even, you know, looking at where my business is now from when we first started the podcast to where it is now, it's grown, but it's still grown around the same stuff that I was looking at. So even though Get That Website Online came on board after Get That Course Online, I've been doing websites since I started doing my business.
Yeah.
Pretty much around the same. I built my own websites to begin with. And then it was in the same year that I started learning about online courses. So my first year of business, started learning about online courses, and I built the first website for somebody else. And it was just extraordinary. And it wasn't that I was pushing that. It was just somebody that I met for a coffee that I used to work with, and I happened to mention, oh, I've done this, and they said, oh, would you mind doing, and that was it, really. That was how it started. So that plus the sort of the growth outwards into the Get That Gang and all that kind of stuff, this has all been quite organic growth. which, you know, I think you experience in your business anyway, in terms of what you're offering and how you're offering it. And certainly, like you, my team has grown. I didn't have a team I always forget that one of the very first things I did was get my still now accountants on board, because I absolutely knew beyond a shadow of a doubt when I first set up my business, doing the books was not something that was in my wheelhouse. I did not want any part of it. Now, that's different to how every quarter I collate all the invoices that I've had paid in, the ones that have gone out, check it against my bank statements, send it all off to the accountants so they can work out what VAT I owe and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, putting together my spreadsheet for that is about as far as I'll go with it. But working out which bits have VAT and what goes where and all that kind of,
No.
So I have actually outsourced something from the beginning of having my business. But because it was part of when I first set it up, I always forget that, you know, they are effectively part of my team. So that's them. But what I have done is grow my team insofar as I've brought on board a VA who does some various bits and pieces for me. This is a relatively new relationship. It's only really started since the beginning of the year, this year. But at the same time, you know, we have a meeting every couple of weeks and we discuss what's been done and what's coming up. And as I am getting assets ready, you know, the stuff that she's going to be doing will grow for sure. And I say getting assets ready, it's sort of, you know, the growth of the Get That Gang. Really, the only thing that's held that back is the fact that the biggest impact on my business from Corona is that there has been more business. Just more people wanting to look at online stuff. So, you know, I mean, it's, I don't think that is necessarily something that has been a big change for the business or for me personally. I think by far the biggest difference I see between me on podcast episode one and me on podcast episode 100 is the personal development that I've done. And you mentioned the money stuff. Absolutely, that's a huge chunk and we'll talk about that in a minute. But also it's around my knowledge, my understanding, my thoughts around how to package what I do and the way in which I do that, and being comfortable with outsourcing things, being comfortable with thinking about myself as a business owner, as opposed to, well, it's just me, you know, it's just me doing my stuff. And, you know, being comfortable with thinking about how to grow the business, which was something that I kind of avoided initially because I didn't really know what I wanted the business to be. But then after that, because that just felt a bit too scary, because it's like, you know, I'm just getting comfortable with the idea of doing this and having this as a niche, and I'm not ready to talk about growing the business, whereas that's completely different now. But by far, I'm sure the biggest change has been around the numbers, the pricing, the money sort of stuff. Not necessarily pricing my services, although there is a bit of that in there. So, for example, my one-to-one mentoring, the price per hour of that has not changed because, you know, I was happy enough to price it the way I did when I first started, and it still feels relevant and competitive, and you know, it's absolutely, it's more than some, less than others on that. But I think understanding how to feel about the money stuff and understanding kind of the mantras and the things that might be holding me back, and you know, being a bit of self-sabotage around what I was doing, that has definitely changed for the better. And there's, I mean, there are several programs out there that can help you do this stuff, one of which we're both a part of. But it is around the mindset around money and being comfortable to say, you know, I have this value, and that's therefore what it costs to work with me on that basis. And if you don't have that money, that's not my problem. It's not up to me to reduce my prices so that you can afford it. It's up to you to find a way to afford what I've got to give, if that's what you want to do. So, yeah, I mean, there's a whole load of stuff in there. But, you know, your main money learnings, Sharon, what would you say they were?
Oh, God, you know, well, very, very similar, really. Yeah. you know, that it isn't your job to work out, you know, whether or not people can afford it. You know, your only job is to just show up and do what you do and provide the value and do a great job and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, because I think, you know, it's a classic case, I think, when we launched the Future Fit program. I think both of us originally were sort of quite hesitant, weren't we? Because at that time in March 2020, for the first few weeks of the pandemic being in existence, there was just this huge, I don't know, culture, whatever, about just free stuff.
Yeah.
And there was a sort of energy out there, particularly on social media, that, you know, you shouldn't be charging for anything.
Yeah.
You know, and if you charge for anything, that you are like a horrible person. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was, you could just feel it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And so we were sort of, you know, thinking about launching this program in the middle of that and going, oh, I don't know. But one, we came to the conclusion that, and I think both of us felt that this business about not charging anything, effectively, if everybody stopped paying each other, there would be no money in circulation.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't actually help anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, because certainly at that time, well, you know, it was applying to the online world, but if you went down to Tesco or down to the petrol and tried to fill your car up, well, I guess we weren't doing them, but you take my point.
Yeah.
No, they didn't say, oh, yeah, you just
take it for free. Bits. Yeah,
no,
sure.
You know, I mean, none of that was happening. So I don't quite understand this same mentality being applied to, you know, to the business and online world. But then I think when we took the decision to charge and to charge what we felt, you know, the program was worth in terms of its value, we were just amazed at how many people came forward and signed up. And it was like, well, I thought nobody had any money.
Yeah, it's really interesting how that works, isn't it? And I mean, absolutely, for the first, and I was skiing for the first week, although lockdown happened the week after I came back. And I say I was skiing, I had one day of skiing. People have heard this before, we know this.
Yeah.
But I started putting out a tip a day on LinkedIn about online course creation. And I did have somebody who shall remain nameless come to me after I'd done, I think I did 8 tips in the end, so 4 one week, 4 the next week, something like that. And they were good tips, they were good steps for, you know, if you follow these, actually, it is possible to get an online course up and out. And somebody got in touch after, oh, are you doing any more of those tips? No. If people want to work with me, they need to pay me. You know, I'm not giving away everything for free, because that's ridiculous. What good does it do other people for me to then not have any money and not be able to afford to run my business?
Yeah.
I can't help people like that. It's crazy. So I do understand where the sentiment came from, which was, you know, people are suffering hardship and all the rest of it. Yes, but if people need to trim their sails, and I don't mean this to sound callous, but if people need to reduce the amount of money that they're spending, then reduce the amount of money that you're spending. Me charging for stuff doesn't stop you not buying it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of we all have to take responsibility for our own place in this. And, you know, like you, I was pleasantly surprised by the number of people who, once they had time to stop and think, suddenly thought, oh, yeah, that online stuff, I want to learn more about that. Or websites, I want to get my website sorted out. I've now got time to think about it. And really, you know, neither of us have stopped, really, since the start of the pandemic. But the biggest difference has been this understanding that, you know, the phrase is money makes the world go round. Well, yeah, it kind of does. You know, it doesn't do anybody any good to not be sending money around the economy. That's what keeps the economy going. So, you know, having sort of almost, fingers crossed, touching wood, all the other bits and pieces, almost come out the other side, although, you know, Corona will be with us for a long time in some way, shape or form. I think that having had that help to understand what my money hang-ups were, to work on that, and then to move into an area of having the courage to say, no, actually, you know, if you can't afford it, that's not something that I have to sort out, which can be really difficult if you are, like, I think, you know, most trainers are, most people involved in the training world, we are givers. We are people that want to give value. We want to help. We want people to be able to achieve something, to change something, to do something. So that kind of can feel a little bit uncomfortable to begin with, to sort of say, well, it's actually, it's not my job to work out how you can afford to take my stuff. You know, that's your job. Your job is to work out how, whether or not you can afford it. My job is to say this is what it is, and this is the value that it represents, and this is what I'm charging for it. You know, that, you know, that's it. And my job is done.
You know, if we take on all that stuff, it's like a load of emotional energy and baggage that we don't need to take on. You know, it's and it leads us down all sorts of rabbit holes which doesn't really serve us to go down. Now I'm not saying that I haven't been down these many times, because I have.
Yeah, me too.
But you know, but I definitely feel that in the last couple of years I've made, you know, more progress. I don't think it's fixed. It's like all of this mindset stuff that you know, that we've worked on, it's work in progress, isn't it?
Oh, completely. And I think, you know, I mean, even now, and I was saying, one of the things that I think is linked to this understanding that my job is simply to say this is what it is and this is how much it costs, linked to that is kind of this separation of the personal association with whether or not somebody actually takes you up on an offer that you've made. And I was saying just this morning, you know, and I mentioned a couple of people that I was talking to last week with proposals put in for whether or not they want to work with me. I'm actually genuinely, and I'm going to say, not fussed about whether they work with me or not. Now, this is not to say that if they come back and say they want to work with me, I won't care about the product that I produce. That's a different thing.
I know what you're saying.
This is more about, you know, that it's their choice. And, you know, either they will or they won't. But either way, it doesn't have any impact on who I am as a person. It doesn't have any impact on my worth or my value or the value that I provide, or whether or not I'm any good at my job, or that, because I've got plenty of people that want to pay me money, that continue to want to pay me money because they value what I do. And that for me is just, it's a huge breakthrough to not be so personally invested in every proposal for work that I put out because I'm not feeling like, and this is something that I do think does make a difference, because having been in the situation where, you know, I pretty much, I have to win every piece of work because that's the only money coming in, that is a different thing. You know, I am in the fortunate position at the moment of having the confidence and the evidence that if one thing doesn't come off, something else will come in its place.
But don't you find, though, and this is, you know, the woo-woo talking again, and it is so true. I don't think it's just woo-woo, because it definitely works, that when that happens, when you are more relaxed about it, when you do let go, because what you're describing there is the process of letting go and you know, detaching yourself from the outcome, there's just something about that positive energy that means that they probably will say yes to working with you. Whereas when you're in that place of, oh my God, I just hope they say yes, I just hope they say yes, it's that desperation and fear, and it sends out that negative energy. And what you get, what you're putting out there, you get back, which is like they're gonna say no. But it really does. It's the more I go into this, which I have done over the last couple of years, it is so true. It's the most bizarre thing, but it goes against all logic, but it just seems to work. And just picking up on the point that you made there about, you know, how you feel in that process, like, you know, like Michael Neal always says, you know, your well-being is not dependent on your sales. And you know, if you can just really get that concept, that really helps with this as well. It's you know, you can still be happy, you can still be a nice person, you know, you can still enjoy, like, you know, just because of what's going on in your business is it shouldn't be dependent on it.
Oh, completely, you know? And I have to say that for me, I feel that looking back on it, one of the biggest differences and the place that it all started from was having the courage to step forward and go, yeah, this is what I'm going to niche in. This is what I'm going to do. Because then that the weight, I cannot describe the weight that was lifted off my shoulders when I looked at all the stuff I've been trying to do and thought, oh, I don't have to worry about that anymore because that's not my niche. And it was just like, oh, actually, I'm really proud of the stuff that I'm putting out there now, instead of just putting it out because I felt I should. I think I've talked about this before, you know, running my business the way I thought I should because that's how other people run their business. And it's like, oh, no, actually, it's my business. I can do it the way I want. It's like, oh, yeah. I can do stuff that I enjoy and just do stuff that I enjoy. Oh, okay. And that, I mean, it sounds ridiculous now, but it was such a huge revelation to then put stuff out there that was, I know this works. I know this can help people. I know that it can make a difference. You know, yes, there are hurdles to overcome in terms of finding the audience to listen to you in the first place to say this thing works. But if you put in the work and you and I don't want it to sound like, you know, you've got to put in the hard work, you do have to put in the work and you do have to follow the process, but if you trust the process, I know that's one of your favorite sayings, if you trust the process, it will come good. I'm not going to say that it's all going to be wine and roses on the way, because there are absolutely ups and downs that you have to navigate, and you know, sometimes things will work out, sometimes they won't, but just keep the faith. Keep the faith that if you trust the process, it will come good, because it absolutely will. And then you do reach this kind of level of, I don't know exactly how it works, and my logical brain is just screaming at the fact that it can't work it out. But have faith that if something doesn't come off, something else will come in, because it will. Because I'm putting out this energy that the stuff that I've got, A, I'm really proud of it, and B, I know it works. You know, and that's as much as I can do, is say to people, it's really good and I know it works. And here are other people that say it works as well. Up to you.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah, completely. Oh, well.
Oh, good stuff. We could talk about this subject for hours, you know, once we get going.
We absolutely could. I think for the sake of listeners and viewers, should we move on to the dog walking digest?
Yeah, let's indeed. Yes. So I've already described her, you know, the highlight of Jem's week is that she's had her bedding washed. So we've, you know, we've talked about that. But yeah, honestly, she's the other day there was an incident in Incline Gardens where she loves to, there's loads of streams down there, so any opportunity she's in the water. And then so she went down into the water, and then, you know, seemed to be having trouble getting out, you know, got herself stuck down there, and there were two teenage girls there sort of like helping her and all the rest of it. They managed to get her out. And then she got out of the water, and I was sort of walking up to the left. And for some reason, when she got out of the water, she just didn't see me. Yeah. So she starts running towards the right and doing her panicking, because she's like looking for me. Where is she? Where is she? So I was like, oh, so I sort of ran off, you know, to get. And she is so deaf. I was literally shouting at that. I must have shouted about 7 or 8 times. She just didn't hear me at all. Then some other bloke tried to grab hold of her and then just didn't. And then she's still continuing to run. I was like, oh, in the end, I managed to get her. It's like, Jen, you are like deaf as a post.
Yeah, poor thing.
Definitely made me realise how it's got worse, you know, that she probably can't hear a great deal.
No, and the trouble is, you can't tell her, look, if you come out and you can't see me, take a beat. Have a look around. See?
Yeah. Just panics. Yeah. Enough she knows. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, bless her. So, yeah, so that was a little incident on the dog walk this week. Aww. How about you?
No, it's been relatively quiet. You know, Scamper has been pretty okay with his walks. Copper, Mum's dog, has he's been shorn, finally, of all his fluff. He looked like a giant teddy bear, he really did. Although unfortunately now he has been shorn of all his fluff, you can see exactly how fat he is. So he's on half rations for his food, which, you know, doesn't stop mum still feeding him from the table on a Sunday. But it's like, oh, seriously? But, you know, we're not going too hard on him because, bless him, he has just come off his course of steroids. And, you know, we did think we were going to lose him at one point, and we knew that with the steroids he would just be hungry the entire time. Before that, I mean, he just genuinely, in the mornings, he's not fussed about his breakfast. He will usually, he'll eat the meaty part and leave the kibble and just graze on that over the rest of the day. Same with his evening meal. He'll eat the meaty part, graze on the kibble, and it's usually gone by the next morning.
Yeah. Like Jem. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it must be a spaniel thing. But whilst he was on the steroids, he was asking for food all the time. And I can't remember if I said he got fed twice one weekend.
He did.
Because he was just like, well, I'm hungry. Oh, you must need feeding then. Okay. But anyway, he's got a little round belly at the moment, which is emphasised by the fact that there's no hair. No fur to cover it up. And mum was disappointed because, he got his hair cut before she's got getting hers cut. That's not until next week. But B, apparently she said to the groomer, can you just take a little bit off? Because she was worried that it would be too much to take it all off. And I was saying to her, no, get it. Just get him shorn, you know, really close. And it's not that close a cut. But I think the fact that there is such a difference between what he was and what he is now, it looks quite severe. Although she said, his ears are nice. They've done his ears nicely this time. Oh, well, silver lining on that. But it must be so much more comfortable for him to not have all that hair hanging around and what have you. It's good.
Get Jem done soon for sure, and you know, I'm right on cue to bring this wonderful celebratory 100th episode to a close. I've just been notified the highlight of my day is that my dog poo bags have been delivered.
Oh wow. What more could you ask for on a bank holiday Monday? I mean, come on that note. Oh well, we have to end there then. Brilliant. Well, thanks for your time and your patience. Lovely listeners, gorgeous viewers, if you're watching us on YouTube. It's been wonderful to spend this 100th episode with you. If you are so inclined, if you're a regular listener, tell us what's been the change for you over the last 100 episodes. How has your business changed? How have things changed for you? We'd love to hear from you about that. But in the meantime, take care, everybody. Have a great rest of, well, it'll be your weekend by the time you get this, but
yeah, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.